Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to see our brother Warbright, his wife. Amen. Amen. Thank God for touching your life. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
When over 3 million people came out of Egypt, and God walked them through his ways, to reveal their heart and to call them close to him, and then to cause them to inherit the promise that he has for them. Amen?
Amen.
When God did that, I think it was prayed this morning, he said, because they did not mix it with faith, many of them never made it to the promised land. Very few. And I was also meditating. I don't know, this thing has an echo. I was also meditating on, I was also meditating on the life of Jesus. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Most times you hear the word multitudes that cannot be numbered that were following him. And many of them, they receive miracles, they receive healing, they receive so many, many things. The Bible says that there came a time Jesus preached a word. It says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. They did not understand it. And it says he did this to test them, and many of his disciples left. Many of the people followed him. And then when he got to the time of the cross, when he had to go to the cross, some, instead of all these thousands of people, some, instead of even just turning away, turned against him. I say, crucify him. Because of deception that they believed from the Pharisees. Even among his disciples, some of them ran away. John followed him to the end, and the women followed him. So, every time I'm waiting on the Lord about, Father, what is on your heart for Mount Zion this morning? He always, everything he shows me always points to one thing. For everyone in this house to really know him. And to know him by also knowing who they are in Christ. So that their life is built around the identity of Christ in all they do. And now, all these years, after all this focusing on this identity and this, I'm beginning to see signs that make me say, okay, God, I see why you keep calling us to preach on character and identity and things. Because of what we see now. So this morning, I want to share a few things with us. as a reminder and also an encouragement of your personal life as a member of this house. You should not take what you have lightly, and you should dig deeper. Amen? The reason this word is coming to me this morning is because we just came out of 21 days. That was prophetically a call to this house. And we're called to position ourselves, because after these 21 days, we'll begin to see the reasons for it. It was a prophetic call for us to also partner with God so that we can pray and be pregnant and release the things that are on God's heart moving into the season going forward. It was also a time to pray so that we can be positioned so that whatever happens, we are like those who are in the ark, the presence, the glory of God. So as we go forward, we have nothing but protection, provision, and promotion. Just, it's more than that, but just build upon that expectation. So coming out of these 21 days, if we don't have an understanding of some of the things we're praying, we'd be like a pregnant woman that was pregnant, gave birth. He doesn't know if he's a boy or a girl, or he doesn't even know he gave birth to something. Coming out of prayer 21 days, when you bought something, you don't just relax. There are corresponding expressions of obedience and prayer that causes what you have bought in the spirit to be released, to be maintained, and so you can see them as they unfold in the season, both the good and the bad. But especially those things that favor you because of the glory of God. We don't pray in vain. We don't fast in vain. We do it like Elijah prayed. God told him to pray for rain, and then he saw rain. And then the fruit of rain was to bring change in the society. So we don't just pray, and then after prayer, just like, okay, where do we go from here? So that's why some of the things we're going to be sharing in this season is going to help us keep our prayers and our focus on those prayer points until people start really enjoying the fruit and the manifestation of the breakthrough received in the spirit. Amen? So we're going to be keeping our eyes on these prayer points that we had in mind when we entered and keep going. And I thank God for the amazing revelation. God is, you know, even the prayer we prayed this morning and the people that have been leading this house in evening prayer, just staying, just flowing with the Spirit of the Lord. Another reason I want to share this is we are in the last days. And Paul warned us that in the last days, many are going to fall away. They're going to fall away by reason of different things, mostly some of them by deceptive gospel that does not encourage personal transformation, which is the power of God, power of the word. And then many, their love is going to wax cold and they're going to fall away because of the shaking and the trials and the things that are coming upon the earth, which, as I've shared with you, is supposed to be an advantage for us. Because we thrive in trial, in shakings as the children of God. But to get to that point where shakings or the trials become favor, becomes a promotion for us, we have to have a foundation. We have to have an understanding. So that's what I want to remind us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Let's start from there. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, which sayings? If you read Matthew 5 to 7, it's a summary of the whole gospel. Jesus preached it, called the Beatitudes, from 5 to 7. So he ended up this comprehensive summary of the whole gospel, the New Testament, ended up everything and saying, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them and obeys them, I will liken him or her unto a wise man. Somebody who has wisdom. I will liken him or her to a wise man, a woman, which built his house upon a rock. A rock. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He built his house upon a rock. Foundation. Verse 25. Listen to this. It says, as long as you're in this earth, the physical, I'm using the physical now, and their houses built, God has seasons that bring rain. God has seasons that bring wind. So in the physical, he says, storm will come. That's why we have a house. Rain will come. The wind will come. In the physical, using a physical illustration, this is what it says. It says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was, you got the word Jesus used, it was founded upon a rock. It was built upon a rock, meaning the foundation was rock, the word of God. Now listen to this, so that this is the last statement is made based on the gospel, the whole Bible. Summarize. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, the word of God, and doeth them not, does not obey them, doesn't practice them, this is what it says, shall be likened unto what? A foolish man or woman, which built his house upon what? It's using physical to explain the spiritual. Verse 27. It says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it what? It fell. And great was the fall of it. You see, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So there is no message. There is no example. There is no gospel. There is nothing you can do that is better than Jesus. And this is what he's saying. And then when he came to this earth, he said he gave a perfect example through and with his life. And based on this scripture, he separated believers, or what you call disciples, from multitudes. If you are in any church, you are either a multitude or a disciple. Multitudes are people, because he's saying they all beat house. They all are people who all they do is receive, 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 receive. Multitudes are always looking to the hand of God in the church. There's nothing, the hand of God is what drives us to God, brings us to God, miracles and stuff. The hand of God is what reveals God, the glory of God, the power of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But when now you have received the miracles, you receive the blessings, you've all these things God is doing is to drive you to one thing, to his heart. And then you go after his heart. Disciples are people who have now, they have taken on the heart of God, and now they seek the ways of God, and they start living by the ways of the word of God. And now their life is no more built around the identity of the flesh, who they are as a fleshman, but their life is built on who they are as a spirit man. Their life is no more built around the things of this world, even though they have it. Their life is built based on the things of God. Mindful of where they came from and where they are going back to. The gospel. Amen? Amen. Even though they have everything this world can give. So, quickly let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was preaching, and then he ask them from verse 13. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Look at the word, the Son of Man. And they said, some says there are John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, others one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is what? In heaven. Now, based on the revelation that he's the Son of God, this is what he now says that will be the mindset or the foundation of true disciples, believers. It's called a church. This is what he says, verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this word, rock, I will build. Remember Matthew 7. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Then he went ahead and started giving benefits of understanding this identity, building upon this identity, the privileges, the benefits, the authority, and all the things that comes based on building your life around Christ and the identity that we're sons of God. Amen? Now, based on this revelation, Jesus says, this is the rock we build on. The word of God. The Son of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen? So he says, based on the word of God, based on which is Christ, you build. He said to them, but how do you build? Matthew chapter 7, he says, you build out of obedience. Out of, you believe my word, you obey my word, you do my word, you practice my word. And then you build beyond the flesh. It says the one that don't practice, they have the word of God, but they are building everything on the flesh. So the difference between those who develop the spirit man, who built the spirit man, and those who are Christians, but they are still building their life around the flesh man, is determined through the times of trials. Listen to what Jesus says. Upon this rock, Matthew, I will build my church, meaning Christ, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the life of God, the ways of God. Upon Christ, upon this identity, I build my church, I build my house, I build my life. He says the gates of hell, what do you call the gates of hell, shall not prevail against, will not stop it. Jesus called it the gates of hell here. But then in Matthew he says, the wind will come. Using the physical, the storm will come, the this will come. What does that mean? He says, as long as we live in this world, we are going to be tested. We are going to be tried. But the trial and the testing establishes us, because our life is built on a different foundation. See, but those in church, because he said they've heard the word, but they're not practicing it. He says, when trials come, when tribulations come, they fall. So, now, I want us to look at why we're sharing this. Let's open to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, H-A-G-G-A-I. Haggai, chapter 2. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. Amen. In Haggai, chapter 2, the Lord spoke to the prophet as they were about to build the temple of the Lord. Again, rebuild the temple of the Lord. And he said, I will read from verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts. He was saying to Israel then, and he's also saying now. For thus says the Lord of hosts. Yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and I will shake the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations, watch that word, the desire of all nations shall come. And then I will fill this house that I built with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, meaning God will bring the wealth back to the righteous, says the Lord. Verse 9. God has made a promise, and it will never change, that out of shaking, his glory is revealed. He says here, verse 9, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Here, the Lord describes and uses a word. In Matthew, he says the wind will blow the physical house. The storm will come, the rain will come. In Matthew 16, he used the gates of hell shall not prevail against the foundation of true believers. Then here, he used the temple, the building of the temple and the nation of Israel as a symbol. He says in verse 5, just the way I brought you out of Egypt by my spirit, this time what I'm going to do, I will not only shake the earth, but I'm going to shake the heaven. He used the word shaking. He was going to use natural disasters. He's going to use natural things. And he's going to use that shaking both in heaven and earth to shake everything that is built, everything that, to find out exactly what is built by God and what is built by man. And then he says, that which is of God will rise in glory. And the glory that will come out of the shaking of the latter house, meaning the house of God, the church of God or Israel, what will come out of the shaking will be such glory. And God will restore not just glory, will restore the wealth. The wealth of the world will come back. What I'm sharing with you now is all over Isaiah 60. It's all through the prophetic word of Isaiah and other scriptures. So we see here again, he used the word shaking. Let's just look at that in the New Testament. Let's go to the scriptures that we normally read when we open. Go to Hebrews 12. The scripture we read every Sunday morning. Let's open to Hebrews 12. Hebrews is before James. Hebrews 12. Pastor Manny read it this morning. Now let's just read from verse 22 that we normally read. But you have come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of what? Abel. Listen to this, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spoke on earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, if we disobey, if we live a disobedient life from while we're in church. Verse 25, 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised. Now he's referring to that scripture I share with you in Haggai now. But now he has promised. This is New Testament. Saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies that this shaking that is coming and this shaking that God is about to do signifies the removing of those things that are shaking in our lives. That can be shaking in the church. That can be shaking in Israel. That can be shaking among the nations. The removing of those things that are shaken, that are not built on the rock, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. As built, will be built on the rock. So that those things, those houses that are built, those people whose identity are built around Christ, who understand who they are, sons of God, those things, there will be a separation between the wheat and the tares, between the sheep and the goat. When there is a shaking, your identity is exposed. Amen? It says, and this word yes was signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Remember how we started, what cannot be shaken? The things of the kingdom of God. We have come to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom, verse 28, which cannot, he just explained Zion, Jesus, everything. Who he says, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. In other words, whereby we may serve God diligently, with faithfulness, with sincerity, with honesty, with focus. You see, because shaking reveals everything. Peter says we should not be ignorant of these fiery draughts that come to test us. For the trying of our faith is to produce the fruit of the Spirit. In paraphrasing, it says the trying of our faith is like putting a gold in the fire. You don't destroy the gold. The fire actually refines the gold and makes it better. Amen? Because it's pure gold. It says, so our trials are not to destroy us. Or as soon as they rejoice with it, I know our flesh doesn't. But it says, what trial produces? It removes those things that have the capacity to be shaken when we are in trouble, so that after we've gone through so much trial, all God is building is the fruit of the Spirit, is Christ. Your character is being built on Christ, so that as you go through life and experience shaking, the only thing that is taken out of your life are those things that are not of God. And what is left is what the gates of hell can never prevail. The storms cannot stop you. Nothing can stop you. Why am I sharing this? We have a few examples in the Bible. Because when we read the scriptures, we read it and it sounds like a theological word. But God has left us examples of people in the Bible, how this works. For example, you look at the life of Joseph. Joseph had his brothers, all of them. They have received the same inheritance, the same word. They received the same thing passed down from Abraham to their father. But there was something Joseph must have found that drew him closer to God, that made God start opening his heart more to the things of God. Now, when Joseph started going through severe trials, you know that nobody will go through that kind of trial without having bitterness, hatred, anger, without being stereotyped, without his life would have been built around his problems and all that has come true. But Joseph did not build his life around his problems or what has come true. He built his life on the identity of the Bible, the vision God gave to him, the word of God. He says the gates of hell, he told his brothers what the devil meant for evil, meaning you didn't see the devil, but the devil came through many, many angles. Came through many directions. But it was not to destroy Joseph. Because Joseph was practicing the word of God. His life was now built solid on the revelation of God's word. On Christ. And so when all these trials, all the shaking was coming, all these things, they were just pushing him further and further to his promotion. And all they were removing from him, flesh, they were just ripping out. Okay, you unforgiveness, ripping out malice, ripping out, and molding his character. By the time he finally got to the worst of the betrayers and beating and everything, he was in jail. If you study it, you will not see anywhere. Something about his character was not built on the problems, on the circumstance, on the situation. He had a focus like Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He was focused on God, the promise of God, the faithfulness of God, the vision. Did he cry? Yes. Did he struggle? Yes. Did he battle? God, where are you? Yes. Was he confused? Yes. God, you gave me vision. You showed me this. I end up here. First, I'm a slave. Now I left from being a slave. Now I'm a selling in Egypt. And now you throw me in jail? What kind of vision? His mind went through it. His life went through it. But he had, his life was not, his identity was not built around the flesh, the surface, the sound, the dot sound. It was built on the inner man, the vision, the calling. Did he go through like Jesus, my father in the flesh? The flesh will cry. The flesh will scream. The flesh will battle. The flesh will go through the valley of the shadow of death. But the spirit man has a destination, has a foundation hell cannot stop. He said, what the devil meant for evil? No, God actually used the devil to send me ahead of you to prepare a way for you. That's why God doesn't build around multitudes. He builds around disciples. A true disciple, 12, 2, 5, can do great things, exploits, because they are disciples of God. Look at the example of what we are looking at today in the Bible, Job. We can't even begin to imagine as a human being what Job went through. My brothers and sisters, God did not write these things in the Bible for us to convert to movies and entertain our minds. He is showing us how he raised up disciples all through, who have discovered a foundation that cannot be moved. Job was in a place of relationship with God that his foundation was solid. That even God says, that man is mine. I know him. And then the gates of hell says, let us go after him. You didn't see Satan anywhere, but you saw the storm. You saw the rain. You saw the terrain. It destroyed his business. It destroyed his family. 10 of your children, your only children, died in one storm. Your business crashed. Everything crashed. The identity of Job was not built on what he had. The identity of Job was not even built on his family. That man was built. Before God will say, that man knows me, he has found his identity in God. Because as far as this world is concerned, everything here has expiration date and can be shaken and can be removed. Any of us can be removed to heaven. But if our life, our foundation is built on that. There's a woman. There's nothing wrong with it. Somebody told me the story not too long ago. The moment the husband passed, the woman has ceased to function till this day. She's become like a vegetable in her mind. Is her husband her destiny? Is her husband bigger than God? Is her husband the purpose of God? Her husband is just flesh and blood. It's probably fulfilled his purpose. So what she did was, instead of building on God, and then God gave you bone of your bone, flesh of your, so to partner with you, to walk with you, to flow, she shifted her focus and built it on the flesh. Built it on the sand. There's nothing wrong having all the blessings God gives to us, but God is saying, don't put me a man in the same foundation. That's why it's God. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. If you build around something that has expiration date on the earth, when that thing expires, you're finished. Because our life is like a vapor. Our assignment is done, we are gone. If God has any plan for that woman's life, she can never see it anymore. She's gone because her foundation was not rock. So Job went through everything he went through. And not only that, he had friends, church members, amen, family, that did not understand what he was going through. And they rubbed the situation on him because it was a mystery. And Job endured all that. My brothers, the Bible says in the book of James, Job was a man like every one of us. What are you going through today? Remember, when we are going through the valley of the shadow, let our flesh creep. But don't let that steal your life. Jesus says, when you come through, he has already an oil for you upon your head. He has a place you never... and then he has now goodness and mercy waiting for you. And he's never left you through that situation. For those who obey and who are building upon the rock, you know you're going through. You know that situation is not the end. You are going through. So, we know the situation of Job and what happened. And the end of it. The Bible says, look at the end of Job, James. How God was merciful, gracious. He didn't know it was the gates of hell. He didn't know that Satan can bring storms and challenges. Joseph didn't understand that. The point is, God is saying, using the physical to say, we'll go through challenges. We'll go through trials. Some of them will come like shakings. Shake! But you can't use the word shaking to shake away the things that you don't need. There are some things we don't know we don't need. Amen? But we don't know we don't need them until they are gone. And then when God replaces them, now we see, he said, the sufferings of this present moment is nothing to be compared to the glory that comes through after that. Another example in the Bible is the Hebrew children. You can see that they did not get to that place overnight where they were put in the fire. Like we prayed today. They were put in the fire. You can see their life. They did not wake up overnight and go. They had a foundation. Amen? They had a foundation. Listen, they were not the only people in Israel that were taken captives to Babylon. The Bible says majority have already compromised. Whenever they sound, they were living and enjoying Babylon. There's nothing wrong, you know, when they sound the music. But then there was a rumor that there were people with high-level government leaders in the palace that are not bowing down. So they have good jobs, something they could compromise about. They have top offices. And one of the biggest things God deals with me and is sharing with me that makes people compromise under trials or shaking is their reputation for righteousness sake. They had a reputation to preserve. That's some of the things Job had to deal with. The Bible says when Jesus was on that cross, he was a man of no reputation. Reputation is huge when it comes to trials and tests. We don't step up by faith. We don't obey God. We don't stand for God because we are ashamed because of our dignity and reputation in being followers of Jesus. Peter denied Jesus because of reputation, fear, and death. My brothers, the three Hebrew children, if you go read it, you see that they had a foundation. Any of these people you see came through, they had foundation. They didn't just get there. And then when you put you in the fire, again, Haggai calls it shaking. Trials are shaking. Jesus calls it storm and calls it gates of hell. And we see how they operate in different ways that we don't know how. Paul says, rest not against flesh and blood. Now, Haggai calls it shaking. Now, Peter calls it fire. And now the Hebrew children went through it physically as fire. Both physical and spiritual fire. And you all know what fire does. Amen? Amen? Fire can destroy you. Fire can make you. Amen? Amen. So like Jesus said, with the storm, fire comes. What did he do? The Hebrew children, the fire made them. The fire protected them. Fire promoted them. Fire preserved them. Because they were not alone. Somebody was walking through with them to the valley and that shadow. Says, I will be with you. And he was there with them in the fire. And he did not destroy them. Instead, he promoted them. Because they built the identity around that. One of the things trials do to us or the times we live in is, one, the purpose of trial, the purpose of shaking, you can see where God says, I'll shake this and shake this, so that our life is not built around material things. God will give it to you. He says, I will add it to you. But he doesn't want it to be a God. I will give you children. He doesn't want your children to be God. I will give you this. He doesn't want your job to be God. Some people have jobs now. They don't care about church. It's unbelievable. Is it to serve God with reverence and fear? Everything God is calling us to do. The worst of all, they say, Jesus, who do you? They say, oh, you're Elijah, you're this. Built around ministry. No, it should be built on Christ. And then you obey God. I can go on and on talking about David and about all the different peoples in the Hebrews 2:11, why God used them as an example for us. Why it's important to build. Now, why am I sharing this again? After these 21 days of prayer, it is now clear to me. We've been waiting on God for a long time and waiting through different seasons. But now I'm getting a clarity a little bit as the cloud is moving, not only in Zion, but in the world. My brothers and sisters, it's time to take God more seriously. You're doing that, but I'm encouraging you, stay in it. Be a disciple, not a multitude. It started in 2020. The COVID came. Over 5 million people are gone. You're here. The world was shaking. There were churches that collapsed. There were economies that collapsed. There are nations that collapsed. There are people that have not recovered from that shaking. In the midst of the shaking, those who understand the times, like the people that are planning satanically, they took advantage of that moment to prepare and set things up for the next level. The shaking did not stop them. They advanced with it. Those who are really digging deep with God, they took that also to go deeper with God and to position themselves for what God is calling them. Especially, I tell you the truth, like Mount Zion, I know what I'm saying. Then the Russia war came. These are things that are rearranging the mindset of the whole world. It came in 2022, 2 years later. These are what the Bible calls birth pains, pestilence, rumors of war, earthquakes, this. It always happens, but now the level to which we're seeing it and the way the world is set up, you know, this is a different picture. 2 years after the Russia thing came, the Russia thing has rearranged the world as we know it. I'm jumping this for time. Tonight, during our 7 p.m., I might share a few more things. Now, it went 2020 to 2022, Russia came. COVID still not stopped. We still see the residual of the variant of COVID still existing. It's not gone away. It's like Egypt. When you hear this plague, you think the effect of the first plague has stopped. It was still affecting the people, even to the 10th plague, because it was a shaking. COVID is still shaking. Russia war came. Russia war is still shaking. Millions hundreds of thousands have died on both sides. It has destroyed the economy of a nation and tied the rest of the world to that. The world is tied to Ukraine war. And you can see how it's affecting the topography of America's politics. And then, while that is still going, the effect is still in the air. After these 21 days, God told us a new season is coming. And this season is a Kairos moment. And new seasons come. I told you, there is a shaking because the world has turned away from God. He has to, like the prodigal son, shaking brings you back to who you are supposed to go back to. It doesn't matter. The prodigal son lost everything. He went back to the father's house where there was everything. The most important thing, my brothers and sisters, today is that every nation, everybody make it to heaven. Every other thing is useless. In the next, I don't think we have 20, 50 years. Anybody that is not born again is over. The most important thing in life today is that you make it to heaven. Whether it's Russia, whether it's China, whether it's Israel, whether it's the church, the whole priority of heaven is that God wants his children harvested. No matter what the shaking does, make sure you have Christ. That's the final. But God has already told us, given us an idea how the end time will look. And he says, I will come first through shaking. I will come through purification. I will come through different process. And then he used the word, a parable, to give us an example. And the parable of the story of the virgins. Amen? Virgins are people who have heard about God. They are waiting for God. But what happened? Amen? He says at midnight there was a cry, meaning there was something that woke everybody up. Do you think people are waking up yet? Huh? Some people might be awake yet. The COVID is now, some people are still sleeping, isn't it? Okay. The Russia thing, it's not me, it's Ukraine, it's Europe, it's Russia, it's the politicians, let them do what they are doing. We're not reading the handwriting in the wall. And now this Israel thing, when God starts with Israel, you know the butt pain is about to escalate. Now you see what's happening in Israel? Their whole nation is tied to it. Like I said, I don't know if I said it last Sunday, but I said it online. When a heart surgeon is doing heart surgery, they are very careful. If they make a mistake and spoil the wrong vein in the heart, that person is gone. The most delicate surgery is the heart. What is happening in Israel is delicate for the whole world. If that thing is not supervised through serious intercession and prayer of the church, that surgery is done wrong, the world is heading somewhere. Because everybody, one way or the other, is tied to this war. Whether it's Russia and China and that, tied through Iran to Hezbollah to Hamas, or the tied through Israel, the United States and the rest. Everybody is tied to their heart. And Israel is the heart of the nation with the work of God. So if this is not managed and the church is sitting, we can't pray. That, no, prayer is, you pray for your people when they go to hospital. You know doctors can do it, but sometimes you know doctors can't do it. So you pray so that nothing happens to that person. That's why we need to intercede for Israel. That's why we need to cry for mercy. Because they are human and the wrong direction can shift the balance of the whole world easily. And that's why you're here. So, that's why I wanted to share this with you on a global level, a national level, but on a personal level. My brothers, wake up and take God seriously. take your intimacy with God seriously. Take the times you live in. See, all these things will promote you. You will not be less than who you are the more you go deeper. But if this thing starts escalating, what the Lord is showing to me, I see, when I say things are becoming clear, I watched some things God showed clearly till this thing started. Now, based on what I've watched, God was saying, so these things, these new doors, it's not limited to Israel. More things are coming into this new season we've not seen. But things are going to build momentum till spring. In spring, God says, then another season is coming. And this level, I don't know what that will look like. Why not be wise? He says, they are wise builders. Like Noah. Like Joseph. They don't wait. They prepare. They take God seriously. And position themselves where they will just be enjoying why the whole world. And they'll become instruments of God. That's why I feel the Lord is leading me again as a reminder to this house. You're not ignorant of the things that God has been saying and doing. You're not ignorant of the season. Now that is before us, we need to be here. We're praying every evening. If you're not coming here, pray at your home. Take God seriously. Go deeper with God. Amen. Build a deeper relationship and be ready for the blessings that is about to accomplish this season in our lives. Amen. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. Declare it one more time. On Christ, holy rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Father, your word is the anchor of our soul. I thank you. Your word is what establishes our heart so that we are not tossed to and fro by the winds and the storm of our time. Father, thank you that your word, your identity is our foundation, Christ, so that no matter the wind and the storm and the shaking, we don't react, but we respond correctly by your Spirit. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, is the anchor so that whatever we are going through, it does not separate us from your presence. Paul says, is it trials, persecution, whatever, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. Father, David cried. He says, my heart longs for you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and a thirsty land. Father, you are everything to us. We don't serve you because of what you give to us. We don't serve you because of our wives, our husbands, the money, ministry. Father, limiting what you've done. We serve you. We worship you. We honor you because of who you are. you are our Father. It is you that have added this all to us. And you are the only one that keeps it and leads and protects because we are in your presence. Help us not to make anything above you that will cut us off completely and comparing that thing to the love you have for us. Have mercy on us, O God. Father, we thank you for the patience of Job. We thank you for the patience you give throughout the Bible to your servants. Father, you brought me through so many trials. And when I asked you why didn't you show me? Why did this? You said, if I had shown to you, you would not have gone through it. And today, you will not be what I've made in your heart. Father, we thank you. And when we look back, we know you go with us when we go to the valley, to the shadow of death, to bring us to the place where we can even sit at the table with our enemies and nothing happens. You are worthy, O Lord. You are faithful. You are a good shepherd. You are a true shepherd. You never leave us. You never forsake us. But you follow us through the valley to the shadow. And you bless us. And you promote us like Joseph, like David. At the end of it all, it's all about you. And your name is glorified. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for these believers, these disciples of the cross, of Christ. Father, I thank you. And you will establish your children that they will be diligent and faithful. And they will serve you. They will honor you. And they will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.